This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. I'd like to thank our sponsors who make our podcast possible. We tape our podcast with the ongoing support of Raider and Jason Sikora, our sound engineer. Raider is a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. Iberia Bank and First Horizon, who are now one bank. Two relationship-driven banks, both leaders in the industry, have officially joined forces. The combination of Iberia Bank and First Horizon creates a leading financial services company dedicated to enriching the lives of their clients, associates, and their communities. I'd also like to thank Lafayette General Health, who has joined the Ochsner Health family and is now Ochsner Lafayette General. As one health system, Ochsner Lafayette General will provide expanded services and enhanced care from the familiar faces you already trust. Ochsner Lafayette General means more resources to help solve healthcare's toughest problems, reinvesting in our communities, and being further committed to health and wellness. Ochsner Lafayette General. Together means more. Learn more today at togethermeansmore.org. Our guest today is Anya Burgess, owner of Sola Violins, a full-service violin shop in downtown Lafayette, Louisiana. One of the only violin shops in the state, Sola Violins specializes in the restoration, rentals, and sales of violin family instruments. Their clientele includes everyone from students to professionals, Cajun to classical players. Anya is also a violin maker and a board member of the Violin Society of America. A lifelong musician, Anya plays the fiddle with two Grammy-nominated Cajun bands, Bonsoir Catan and the Magnolia Sisters. And I'll get her to correct me in a minute. I may have misstated that again. Originally from the Boston area, Anya moved to Acadiana a little over 20 years ago. She and her family live on the Bayou Teche between Cecilia in Arnoville. And Anya Burgess, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thanks so much, Jan.
Yeah, what a story. I mean, my goodness, coming here from Boston and now playing Cajun music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, it's an unusual path.
Well, it's wonderful. And I think you kind of exemplify our culture here, you know, how people come here and get assimilated and just really add a lot to the culture. So you want to talk about growing up in Boston and how you ended up here?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a suburb outside of Boston called Winchester, and my family still lives there. I went to college, started college at Bowdoin College in Maine, and did my first 2 years there, and then took a year off and basically traveled the world during that year. Came back, did one more year at Bowdoin, and then finished out my college career at Indiana University, where I went to violin making school. They have a program there, and studied folklore. I decided after that program that I just wanted to land somewhere different and kind of, you know, stretch myself a bit. And so I applied for the Teach for America program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and got in, and they placed me to teach in St. Landry Parish, mm-hmm. Just north of Opelousas in Washington. So I taught 2 years at Washington Elementary, and that's how I got here.
You know, two of my good friends were also Teach for America teachers, Valerie Bowles mm-hmm. and Carly Almabar.
Yeah, I know them well.
There must have been a real need in mm-hmm. that St. Landry Parish area, though. Is that?
Yes. Yes.
The school system is in need of.
Yeah, so Teach for America places teachers in usually under-resourced areas mm-hmm. where there's a shortage of teachers. At that point, they were placing in St. Landry Parish, also Acadia Parish and St. Mary, and they're no longer doing that, but now it's mostly in Baton Rouge and Pointe-Coupee and New Orleans, I believe.
So was it a culture shock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. big culture shock.
It's beautiful country, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, overall, just an incredible experience. Part of the challenge was that I didn't have any teaching experience prior to starting. You know, it was like a summer intensive training mm-hmm. course. But made it through, and just it was a very deep experience, very, very challenging, but enriching in my life, more right. than I can say.
So you stayed?
Yeah. So I, you know, when I was teaching, I really didn't have a chance to have too much of a life. I'm the type of person that once I get into a project, I just give it my all. Mm-hmm. And so I was spending every waking hour and beyond trying to get a handle on being a good teacher. And so I felt like after the 2 years of the program that I hadn't really explored the area enough. Mm-hmm. And I knew how much there was here that interested me, especially musically and culturally. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself one more year and stick around and just really dive into the mm-hmm. music scene and you know, explore the area and we'll just see what happens after that.
Right.
So
right.
Nah, 20 years later.
Yeah, right. Still you're still here. Yeah. Yeah. So what type of music when you grew up, what type of music did you play?
When I was growing up, I played mostly classical music until I got to high school and college when I became exposed to more traditional music. Mm-hmm. From, you know, the Appalachian Mountains, Irish music. That's really what I got interested in mainly when I was in college. I had some friends who I played with and just mm-hmm. kind of got really, really inspired by it. And so I didn't play a lot of classical music, or I haven't recently, although I still love and enjoy and listen to a lot of classical music. But I just became really obsessed with mainly like fiddle traditions. Uh-huh. And so
the yeah. Cajun music, when you heard it, were you familiar with it as a folklorist?
Yeah, I was familiar with it, but not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so on my radar.
The same instruments, but I guess in a different manner.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had, you know, I had met some musicians while I was teaching. And so I was able to delve into it a little bit while I was mm-hmm. teaching, go to dances and stuff like that. And just mm-hmm. got really excited okay. about it.
So did you move over to Lafayette, or did you stay out in the countryside?
I've always lived in Arneville, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first 6 months that I moved here, I lived in Opelousas because it was closer to Washington, mm-hmm. and then moved to a really cool house between Grand Coteau and Arneville, and rented there for probably, I don't know, 8 years. And
it's then a great area.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I bought a house on the Bayou Teche. Yeah. About 12 years ago.
We should mention that's Richard Burgess.
Who yes.
many people know from his time at The Advocate and other things
yes.
in the community. So,
yes.
Well, we had mentioned we have a common, well, it was my past zip code, but 70512. Mm-hmm. We lived out in Hidden Hills for over 14 years. Wow. And that whole area is just so beautiful. It's different.
Yeah.
Hilly. Yeah. Just a whole different countryside.
Yeah. Yeah. We love it. Uh-huh. I mean, we have about 5 acres right on the bayou, mm-hmm. so we can put in kayaks in the bayou. And,
yeah.
You know, it's enough space for our kids to run around. I have a workshop mm-hmm. in the backyard that's really nice. It's very peaceful, you yeah. know? I mean, I spend most days of the week working in Lafayette, but then I just love going out there and right. just getting a break.
Right. So when did you open Sola? If I understand, you first opened behind your house. You had a shop.
So I guess during that year when I was just going to kind of, you know, take time and explore the cultural aspects a little deeper, I, you know, prior to actually even moving here, I'd been to violin making school. So I decided, okay, I have these skills. I'll start doing some repair work and work on violins, literally on the dining room table. I'll just see where it goes.
Are there a lot of violin players around here?
Surprisingly, we have a lot of violin players in the area.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think probably one of the most per capita. And so the business, I mean, at that point, I didn't really consider it a business necessarily, but my work started very organically, just word of mouth mm-hmm. and continued to grow. I mean, you know, one player told another, who told another. There wasn't anyone else doing violin repair work in the area at the time. And so I just got really,
got a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And it just continued from there. It got to the point where after the year came up, I didn't even consider leaving at that point. Cause I mean, I had this kind of growing clientele and it was just continued from there.
Does a violin need to be tuned up and refurbished every so often?
Yes.
I don't know. But if you can talk about that, I mean, they seem like such a delicate instrument.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, a lot of the work that we do involves just working with regular clientele, regular customers, and keeping instruments in tune and setups and all that. But then a lot of our business involves complete restorations of instruments that, you know, either have been in families for a while or players have recently acquired. Think about symphony players who just need to always be at the top of their game. Instruments change over, you know, different seasons. Wood is organic and things happen. Things, you know, wood cracks, wood expands, wood shrinks. Instruments just need regular maintenance and eyes on them to make sure that nothing's loose or unglued or...
So you don't just repair, though. You can actually build a violin from scratch.
Yeah. So that was my initial training, actually. I went to a violin making program where we built... the first thing was to learn how to sharpen tools and to use hand tools, and then to learn how to build a violin from scratch, from chunks of wood, you know.
You brought your tools of the trade here to show me, and they really resemble dentistry tools.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Yep.
Very delicate.
Very fine tools. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and when I'm working, I wear, you know, usually like magnifying, like kind of glasses, or you know, it's very intricate work. Mm-hmm. You have to have a certain bent to really be into it because it's it requires a lot of persistence and and kind of alone time and focus and patience to do the best work.
Well, you have beautiful offices downtown. You're what is that at Vermilion? I'm trying to think where
you are. We're at the corner of Jefferson Street and Vermilion Street.
And the old Gordon Hotel. It's beautiful and very visible. Did you just reach a point where you said, I've got to be more central for
that's
the
it.
Work?
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, I worked, you know, I started on the dining room table, then moved to a separate building behind the house, which I still have a workshop in. And so for years, I mean, for like 12 years, people were driving out from all areas to my house in the country. And it just got to the point where I realized, you know, I'm ready for a change. I'm at the point where, you know, I feel like my skill set is fairly solid. So I'm ready to kind of grow in another direction. And so I looked for a really small space downtown where it was almost like a pilot store, like just the germ of an idea where I wasn't in over my head too far. And so I found this small little suite in Gordon Square. Uh-huh. And it was about, maybe 350 square feet. And within moving in, 6 months of moving in, I knew that it was way too small. I didn't have a separate workbench, sales counter. It was, everything was all just in one. I had a very small little suite. And so, I ended up staying in that little spot for a couple of years until the corner space in the building opened up and then, jumped on that.
Right.
So it's been great. And I love the proximity to the Cady Anna Center for the Arts, you know, our little cultural district downtown. I really love being part of all that too.
And that's good traffic for you, I guess. Very, people with their children walking by, because you don't just repair or make violins, you rent also and sell instruments. If you want to talk about that, the violin family, what does that include?
Yeah, so the violin family technically includes violins, violas, and cellos. We also work with basses, and we just kind of loop them in. Or not technically part of the violin family, but nobody needs to know that. And so we do rentals of all of those instruments, and then we also sell instruments, bows, cases, accessories—you know, anything you might need to get going. with stringed instruments and also just to continue, you know, books and, and all that too.
That's quite an inventory to keep.
Yeah.
Is that out in the country or do you
keep them? That's all. That was the other reason I wanted to expand the inventory and I just, you know, I wanted to have more of a retail space to be able to do that and just be more accessible to. The other thing I love about our location is that it's very centrally located between Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, Alexandria. So it's easy for people coming from those cities to find us in that part of town. It's right off the interstate.
Yeah.
So.
And people can always find a downtown area. Yeah. So you're one of the only violin shops in Louisiana.
Yes. Yeah.
What is that? So, is that something? Like, is that is it amazing? Huh?
It's, you know, Sola Violins, so Sola.
South Louisiana.
South Louisiana. And that's, I wanted it to be a regional name rather than, you know, just the name of either me or.
Anya's Violins.
Yeah, or Lafayette or something. I wanted it to encompass all of the surrounding areas, but also. Sola is two notes of the solfege scale, so do, re, mi, fa, sola, ti, do, and when I realized that, I said that is, you know, that's the name. But yeah, there aren't a lot of violin shops in the state. I mean, really only a handful. So we serve a very wide region of players. I mean, all those cities that I just mentioned have orchestras, professional orchestras. They have school programs with with where they teach strings, community orchestras. Of course, a lot of just hobby players. Yeah. So there's a lot of need for good quality instruments, good quality repair, rentals, you know, for people who don't want to get in too deep with instruments in terms of money. You can very affordably rent an instrument and try it out. So
is that mainly young students or that students of all ages?
I would say it's mainly young students, but I mean, gosh, I mean, we rent to all ages. I mean, adults who've always wanted to play the violin or have always wanted to pick up the cello or the viola or bass. I mean, lifelong dream, always wanted to do that. They come in and they rent it and try it out. And for some of them, for many, it changes their life.
You know, it just seems so intimidating to me. I've really, my best friend growing up played the violin from middle school, junior high, we used to call it. And I find it looks intimidating.
Yeah.
But you speak about it as if, you know,
I mean, it's almost like learning a language. I use that analogy quite a bit because
it's so elegant.
You have to put in your time. It doesn't just, you don't just pick up the instrument and know how to play it. A lot of people say, how hard is it? Well, I mean, it depends on how much time you're willing or how much time you have to commit to it. But everybody's capable of learning. And I think, you know, speaking to like the intimidation factor, when I opened the store in Lafayette, I was extremely conscientious of wanting the store to be a very welcoming place because I have visited a lot of music shops and violin shops in particular that do feel a little intimidating. You walk in and you're not sure what your place is.
Yeah. Not dressed up enough or something.
Yeah, everything looks really fancy and I, you know, I want to have a nice elegant presentation, but I also am very much want it to be a comfortable place where people come in and they can learn more, ask questions, just feel like they're part of the gang, you know, part of the family.
They don't have to research before they are brave enough to open the door to come in.
Right. And I mean, I just wanted it to be a very comfortable place. So, I mean, when you walk into our shop, it definitely has a bit of a living room vibe. That's sort of what I had in my mind when I was setting it up. I just wanted it to be comfortable. And my goal is that more people play music. Music has enriched my life to no end and continues to. And so...
Yeah,
just getting more people involved in music, playing music. That's just always been my number one goal.
Anya, one of my first interviews I did, friends from church, Paul Baker and Lauren is a well-known violinist. And when we spoke, she told me how playing the violin in particular is really an enriching experience for children. It helps them learn in school, like their academic subjects. You know, knowing how to play an instrument, I'm sure, especially the violin, but it helps children. If you want to touch on that, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, as a side note, both of my both of my children actually take violin lessons with Lauren Baker. So I know her very well. Mm-hmm.
And they're young.
Just love her. Yes. Yeah. 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 Lauren starts them when they're, you know,
she said
three
two.
Or 4 years old.
Yeah. Well, sometimes mm-hmm. they're even smaller, but they don't really play. They just yeah. do certain things with...
I mean, they're learning music.
Equipment. Uh-huh.
Right. It's... she's been such a great teacher for my kids.
That's great.
But I'm a huge proponent of music education and music in the schools. We work a lot with the different teachers and string programs in the areas. We're fortunate in Lafayette to have a string program that starts in third grade.
Okay.
At J. Wallace James and then continues into LJ Alamon and Como. Mm-hmm. And we also have a youth orchestra in town, which is excellent, led by Dragos Phillip. So, yeah, I mean, I as a kid, I benefited so much from music lessons. Mm-hmm. And
is the violin,
I wish every kid had that opportunity.
Is the violin your only instrument?
No, I actually started on the piano when I was young. And a couple of other instruments as well, some band experience and all that. And then guitar as well. I didn't start playing the violin until I was in college. And got exposed to like traditional music and realized, man, I want to play melody. I want to play all these different types of cool tunes. And so the violin was such a central component to so much of the music I was interested in listening to that I picked it up and never looked back.
Well, I saw there's a list on your website also. And what is your website if you want to
Our website is www.solaviolins.com.
There's a resource list for people that are looking for violinists in the area and into Baton Rouge and surrounding regions. So it is you're not just in sales and rentals, but you do help, I guess, connect the dots for people to find talent.
Definitely. And also to find teachers. So we have a list on our site of all the local strings teachers and... Yeah, I get a lot of calls and from parents looking for teachers for their kids, and I love I sometimes play matchmaker and think which teacher
personalities
who do I think would be a good fit and so that's great. We work a lot with local teachers and again we're fortunate to have many great teachers around.
I'm learning as we do this interview. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Now, is a fiddle a violin?
A fiddle is a violin. The main difference is the style of music that you play with the instrument.
Okay.
I always say that partly jokingly say that I play the fiddle, but I build violins.
Yeah, because I wanted to segue into your music career.
Yep.
And as we said in the opening, you play with two bands, Bonsoir Catan, I hope I'm saying that right, and Magnolia Sisters. So do you play the fiddle with them or is it the violin?
Yes, I play the fiddle with them. I was never classically trained on the instrument, so that's why I always say that I play the fiddle. Yeah. It's been an amazing experience to be in those bands.
Yeah, I interviewed Yvette Landry a while back, and I know she had played together, and I guess
Yvette and I played together for many, many years.
She's beautiful, too. Y'all are both I'm just enjoying learning about you. Well, tell me, I wanted to get into, let's finish first on the Grammy nominations. Both your bands, like you've been Grammy nominated.
Yes.
So why don't you talk about that before I ask any more questions? Because that's a high point of anybody's career.
Yeah, definitely. So the Magnolia Sisters were nominated for the first time in 2010. And it came as a big surprise, honestly. It was, I almost just couldn't believe it when I heard the news. But we went out to LA and had a grand old time.
You got all dressed up.
Oh, yeah. Well, with the Magnolia Sisters, it's always very important to coordinate what we wear and, you know, to present present well. We take a lot of time and think about that. And so, for that occasion, of course, you dress up and that was a lot of fun.
Who are the band members with
you? So the Magnolia Sisters is Anne Savoy and Jane Vadreen, and then Lisa Trahan and me. Mm-hmm. And I'm the newest member of the band, but I've been with them now for 18 years.
Oh, okay.
So that band is, it's
wonderful.
It's awesome. We love it. And we've traveled the world playing Cajun music. We've been to festivals and played at festivals all over Europe and the U.S. And it's been a ticket to so much interesting travel. Mm-hmm. But we also, we're just the best of friends too. We just love hanging out. Yeah. So part of the band vibe is just catching up and having a good time together as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And then Bonsoir.
Yes. Right. And then Bonsoir Catan started in 2005. We have recorded a bunch of albums as well. We were nominated in 2015 for an album we did called Light the Stars. And ironically, I was nominated that year also with the Magnolia Sisters for another album.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was double nominee in 2015.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Which was a really cool experience because I got to go out to the Grammys with both of the bands that I play mm-hmm. in. So, yeah, just incredible.
And who
so
are thankful. Those band members?
Yeah, so Bonsoir Catan is Christy Guillory Munzing. It's Christine Balfa, Megan Bayrard, Ashley Hayes Steele, and Danny DeVillier.
Okay.
And then Yvette was a founding member and played with us probably until mm-hmm. like 2014 or so.
Yeah. Do you write music?
I don't write music, but... In Bonsoir Catan especially, we have several incredible songwriters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot of the stuff that Bonsoir Catan plays is original Cajun French, mm-hmm. newly composed music. It's really, really
it's
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Have you been able to perform over the past year with the shutdown, you know, since March?
Yeah, not too much, honestly. I don't think either band... I'm trying to even think if we've had any gigs.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Where'd the year go? I know.
Yeah, it's so odd because, you know, gigging has been such an important part of my life for forever. And then everything just changed so quickly. But, honestly, it's been a nice break, too. It's just been, allowed everybody to focus on different things. And I think mm-hmm. when we do get back together, it'll be all that much richer.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that where we can congregate without feeling guilty.
Yes, exactly.
You know, or scared.
Yeah. I miss my friends too, honestly. It's because we just, with both bands, we just always have such a good time together, hanging out. Mm-hmm. Of course, playing music and all the fun things that go along with that. But just, you know, these are my best friends. So.
Right. What about your shop, Sola Violins? Has COVID impacted your business?
It has in ways. So we closed for a couple of months, March to May, and we operated by appointment only there for a couple of months. Surprisingly, when you look at the numbers, like at the end of 2020, they're fairly similar overall to the previous year, which mm-hmm. is shocking to me.
It's great
to see that. But I think with us, what happened is the rentals boosted up a little bit because people took up playing and that compensated for a slight decrease in sales. So mm-hmm. we've done okay. I'm very, that's very thankful for that.
Yeah.
I've worked no less this past year. I've probably worked harder
mm-hmm.
And gotten to a lot of like bigger restoration projects that had been on the back burner mm-hmm. and finished up some pretty big projects. So that helped as well. But yeah, while we were shut down, I was basically at my workshop at my house, mm-hmm. Busting my butt to, you know, keep things rolling.
Yeah. It's been interesting to watch downtown Lafayette. It's kind of diversifying. Like I know several stores have opened up, like consignment shops and mm-hmm. a decor mm-hmm. shop. I wrote about that in my newsletter this week. There really are some wonderful things going on downtown.
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, when I first moved downtown in, I guess it was 2014, the building that I'm in, which is the Gordon Hotel, it was almost entirely vacant on the first floor. Mm-hmm. I think Poupart's and a jewelry shop were the only tenants. But the whole corner basically was vacant. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, not only is our building completely occupied, but all of these other businesses downtown that mm-hmm. have recently opened up, really interesting, cool businesses that you can't find anywhere else.
Local owners.
Yes, I love it. I mean, I mm-hmm. love being part of that community. It's just so inspiring, you yeah. know? It's so colorful and new things happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful. And also just to have the downtown team.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just wonderful.
On top of it. Yes. Anita Begno and her staff just have really made a difference, I think.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah, and the promotion of local business and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's yeah. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, honestly. It just the whole just vibe downtown is just great. So
you like consignment shopping? Have you been down to Lilu?
Yes, yes. Awesome? Actually, we'll be working together with her later in January. She's doing a monthly, like Sunday brunch event.
Mindy Guidry.
Yeah, and so Misty.
Misty, excuse me, Misty.
And so we're going to be, I'm going to get some students to play some music for her event later this month.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
I mean, the things you can find.
It'll be outside. Yeah.
Outside and safe.
Yeah. She's been doing it in the Parc de Lafayette next to her store.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, any thoughts, anything I didn't ask you that you thought I might?
Oh, gosh.
Put you on the spot, huh?
I know. Not that I can think of offhand.
Anything, I can ask you this maybe, anything you like about living here in South Louisiana, anything you want to share?
I love that just the culture is so alive. You know, I love that the history of the place, you know, culturally is people are still so proud of where they came from. And I love the French culture. Both of our kids are in the French immersion program, and it's just such an incredible experience for them. I love it. I mean, I love that we have this city of Lafayette is fun, and yet there's the countryside right out. That's great to explore. And
you've got the best of both, don't
you? Yeah,
yeah. Because it's not a far drive.
Right.
From I know you're not in Orneville, but it's really not a far drive at all.
Yeah, the surrounding areas are so pretty, you know.
So your boys have the best.
Yeah.
Growing up like that.
Yeah, my boys love downtown Lafayette, too. Mm-hmm. They feel like they kind of own a piece of it.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Well, Anya, if we may, I'd like you to suggest a song that we might, or a melody that you like that we might end our show with.
That's a great idea.
And I know you'll be sending me that. What would you like us to, is there anything that you'd like us to include?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I'll have to give it a little bit of thought, but we've done just a lot of neat things with both bands, so it's going to be a hard decision to pull one song out. Maybe we can do two.
We can do
pieces
two.
Of two.
Okay. Well, on that note, I want to thank Anya Burgess, owner of Sola Violins in downtown Lafayette, for being our guest. And I'd like to thank our listeners. We're starting out, this is what, January 4th today, and or 5th, January 5th, the beginning of the new year. Let's all pray that we have a wonderful, happy, and safe beginning of our year, and that we can find, you know, our way out of this COVID pandemic. And I want to thank our generous sponsors also. Iberia Bank, part of First Horizon now, thank you for your ongoing support. And Ochsner Lafayette General, you've been wonderful to me, and I'm grateful for your support. And of course, Raider and Jason Sikora for being there since the beginning and mixing this tape. Jason, I'm very grateful for you. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift, and now we'll enjoy some beautiful music. Thank you, Anya.
Thank you so much.
Dans les clos, coton des îles. pour l'usage des enveloppes de pain dans les clous.